Praise God. Well, we're going to be in a couple different verses of scripture here today. We're doing a series called Make Room. And so far we talked about make room for prayer, right? And then make room for God's Word, right? So those are practices that we usually do. I would recommend doing how often? Daily. Okay, so those are some daily practices that I think are pretty important in our spiritual growth, but just for our overall well-being of our body, our soul, and our mind, okay? And sometimes we have to make room for those things because, like our homes, our garages, our homes, they get cluttered, right? Right? Anybody have that problem? Right? And you have to kind of do some cleaning, get rid of a bunch of things, and you take them, whatever, you donate them, throw them away, whatever the case may be. And you really make room for the things that are important, okay? It applies to our time as well, right? We add, but if we don't evaluate, sometimes there's things in our life that it's not necessarily that they are bad, but maybe they're not in alignment with our values like they once were, the things that are important to us. Our lives change throughout the seasons of life, right? And we spend our time in different ways as we go from being single to married life to retirement, even within the age of your kids, that all looks different, right? And so you have to make adjustment. It's very fluid. I was on a call, it's a coaching training call, so I'm a life coach, professional leadership coach, and so I was on this Zoom call last one here on Wednesday it was, and I went back and looked at a book on coaching and had a chapter on balance, right? And people often say my life isn't in balance or I need to have more balance in my life, right? Can I identify, right? And balance is important, right? Because if you're on your car, your vehicle, if your tires aren't balanced, what's going to happen? It'll shake you all over the place. Your steering wheel will be going like this. What's going to happen to your tires? They're going to wear out in the wrong places, right? And so you're going to feel it. And if it really gets bad, you feel it in the steering wheel. You feel it going down the road, right? And so balance isn't always about giving everything in our life equal time, right? It's not. So when they balance your tires, they're going to put a weight in some places, and one tire will take a little weight, one tire will take a big weight. It's not all the same. What the key is that you find that balance when they spin it. And so life is dynamic. It's ever-changing. Balance is not always about slowing down. So there's a trend right now called slow living. Anybody heard about that? Slow living. You can Google it, okay? So it's not always about slowing down, although sometimes that is necessary. Balance isn't always about simplifying. Sometimes we need to simplify, although sometimes that is necessary. And this is a quote kind of from the book here. It says, what most people want is not to go faster or slower or to have less or more, but to have a life-giving ride supported on the rails of a fulfilling life vision. And that's important to have that idea that this is where I'm going, this is my purpose, this is my direction in life. Yes, it may be busy, but it's finding that rhythm, that balance, so that when I go down the road of life, it doesn't all fall apart, right? It doesn't shake me apart, right? That there's those rhythms, there's that balance, and so there's adjustments that need to be made. The practices we've discussed so far, I believe, are very crucial, not only in our spiritual life, but they bless our body and our mind, okay? Body, soul, and mind, they're all connected, and these spiritual practices are vital for our spiritual growth, but also for the other parts of, that make us who we are, all right? Today we're going to talk about a practice that maybe is not, it's not a daily one, it is a weekly one. Okay, it's make room for the Sabbath rest, okay? And so we're going to look at several different passages that talk about a Sabbath rest. And what a Sabbath rest looked like in the Old Testament is probably different from what it looks like in our day and age, okay? And even during the time of Jesus. So we're going to look at what it was, what it is, and what it will be, okay? Three different levels. Before we do, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. that is able to guide us and instruct us. It is the living Word of God. And so, Lord God, it is able to help us distinguish. It's able to help us down the road of life to know right and wrong, but also to know your plan for our life and to know what is the best for us. And so, Lord God, be with us in these moments. In your name we pray. Amen. So first of all, let's look at what the Sabbath rest was. So we're going to look at Exodus. Go to your beginning of your Bible, Genesis, Exodus. There you go, right? Chapter 20, we're going to look at verse 2 and then 8 through 11. And these are the what? The Ten Commandments. Everybody got those memorized? If anybody hasn't memorized, I will buy you a $20 Scooters gift card, but you have to do it right now. Do you have them memorized? Come on up here. Come on up here. Hey, fact checked her. Okay, go.
Number one, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Wait, number one. Yeah. Wait, number one.
You're in front of everybody, I know. Go for it. You're good.
Number one. You know, this is my school, so. Number one, give me a minute. Number two, you should not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Number three, you should remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Okay. Number four, you should not. It's complicated.
Does that not take the Lord's name? I don't know.
Number four is. I don't know, this is confusing. Number five, you shall not murder. Number six, you shall not commit adultery. Number seven, you shall not steal. Number eight, you shall not bear false witness. Number nine, you shall not cover your neighbor's house. 10, you shall not cover your neighbor's wife, manservant, maidservant, oxen, or donkey, or anything belongs to your neighbor.
All right.
I can't remember those other two.
$10. I'll give you a $10 gift card, okay?
Take that.
All right. Okay, hold me to it. Give her a hand. Wow. Praise God. All right. So let's look at Exodus 20, verse 2, and then we're going to skip over the first three there. And then look at the fourth one there. So it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And so think about this. The people of Israel, they didn't have this, okay? Okay, they didn't even have Genesis, okay? And so everything was just word of mouth, God meeting with people, passed on probably by oral tradition. Some of it was written down, but they didn't have God's words per se. The Ten Commandments provided a framework for the people to know what was right and wrong. Okay, so I brought you out of the land of Egypt. These are some things that are going to set you apart from the rest of the people on the world and the planet at that point. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, which means a break, rest, right, to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, neither your son or your daughter, your male, your female servant, nor your animals, any foreigner residing with you in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. And so, that is there. So God puts that is one of the Ten Commandments, okay? That God says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, don't work on it, okay? Let's go to Exodus chapter 32. So a few more chapters in, God instructs Moses to restate this to the people. He says, then the Lord said to Moses, go say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for generations to come. So there again, it was setting them apart from the rest of the world around them, okay? So that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it will be what? Slap on the hand? What does it say? I'm on verse 14. I'm in Exodus 32, Chris. Is that in there? Did I mess up? Verse 14. All right. Got it? Okay. I read too fast. All right. Verse 14, I don't think that's the right verse. It should be 32, 12 through 17. Yeah. That is 14? All right, then I must have it wrong. All right, so whoever can find out where I'm at is good. All right, so observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It says, if you do not keep this, right, those who do work on that day may be cut off from the people. For 6 days, work is to be done, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. That's verse 15. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come as a lasting covenant. So as a symbol of their covenant, their agreement with God. It is a sign between me and the Israelites forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. That's worth underlining there. So I don't know, is it not chapter 32? Okay. Yeah, it's not. Okay. All right. It's chapter 31. You got it. Okay, chapter 31 there. Okay. I just typed it wrong into my my notes here. Chapter 31, 12 through 17. Verse 17. On the seventh day, God rested and was refreshed. Sure. You can put that on there. All right. So resting on the seventh day was part that made them different from the rest of the world, right? And so Jesus was there, okay? But God created the heavens and the earth, right? And 6 days it was all created. And on the seventh day, he what? He rested, right? So, yep, there it is. There you go. And so the Sabbath day was what day of the week? Saturday. It was Saturday. It started at sundown on Friday, and it went to sundown on Saturday, right? And that's still what the Jewish people will observe. That is their Sabbath day. Now, there's still evangelical or Christian people that would observe a Sabbath on a Saturday. Seventh Day Adventists do that. If you go up to Union College there. And so there are some groups that do worship on that. We're going to talk a little more about that. All right. But, you know, here God says, hey, you got 6 days to work. Work on those 6 days. If you work on the seventh day, you're going to die. But you still had people out there that said, you know what? I just love working so much. I have to work on that seventh day. I think reverse psychology works, doesn't it? Right? So if you're an employer and you tell people they have to work 7 days, they go, oh, you know, right? But some people do like to work. Now, so we're going to talk more about what it means, but taking a Sabbath rest was more than a suggestion, especially for the Old Testament crowd. It was a day that they were to take a break. They were to spend time with their family, with their God, and to take a break from that, to refresh their body, soul, and their mind, be with their family, to do all those things. It was to be a delight for them, a delight. It wasn't a rule to be followed. Rather, it was a practice that could bless their life and that they were to embrace. So when Jesus comes on the scene, the Israelites were very religious about what the Sabbath day should look like. There were certain things that they could do and they could not do. Okay? And I think that was true of many of the Ten Commandments. When Jesus comes on the scene, there was a lot of religious rules, but they didn't have a relationship with God. So they had zeroed in on these rules, these commandments, what they should look like, but they left out the relationship part. You know, and even in our day and age, you see that in our world today, that if Christianity is all about rules, that's where we get kind of that religious term. If it's all about rules, then it's kind of like people go, oh, I don't want that. I have enough things in my life. Right? I can't even drive the speed limit. Why would I want some other rules, right, to my life? And so they lose sight of the relationship part of that, okay? And the instructions that God gives us are not there to limit us, to take away our fun and enjoyment. Rather, God gives these guidelines and instructions to bless our life. Did you know that? Right? You read through the Bible and it says, do this, don't do that. But God is saying don't do that because it's like, don't put your hand on the burner. But I want to put my hand on the burner, right? Yeah, right? And that's what happens, Clarence, right? We do the things that God says don't do, and then we get burned in some way, shape, or form, and then we have to live with the consequences. Does God forgive? Yeah, He does. But I still have to live with the consequences of those decisions. All right? So that's what the Sabbath rest was. I think God had the right intent in it, but the people didn't catch the heart of what the Sabbath was to be. They saw it as a rule to be followed, not a delight to be enjoyed. So let's look at what the Sabbath rest is. And when you do some research and do a search for Sabbath in the New Testament, it comes up several times in the Gospels especially, but even in Paul's writings. We see that Jesus was accused of breaking the Sabbath. Did you know that? Man, he was rebellious, right? This is what it says. We're going to read several passages here. Hopefully I got them right. Okay, Mark chapter 6, 1 and 2. Jesus left there and went from his hometown, which was Nazareth, yep, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. What was Jesus doing on the Sabbath? He is healing, and what else? Teaching, yeah. When I teach on Sunday, I consider that work. That's part of what I do, right? All right, okay. I enjoy it, but it's still work. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 12, 9 through 14. Going from that place, he went to their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Okay, had been injured. Looking at that for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Think about this. And he said to them, if you have a sheep that falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to them, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out. It was completely restored, just as sound as the other. And the Pharisees went out, and they plotted how to what? How to kill Jesus. Why? Because he healed on the Sabbath. So there were certain things that they would allow on the Sabbath day, and certain things that they wouldn't. And they, in their minds, it wasn't right for Jesus to be healing on the Sabbath day. Are you following this, right? Jesus is going to talk more about this. But see, so to them, he was a lawbreaker. Luke 13, 10 through 17. Luke 13, 10 through 17. On a Sabbath day, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, so he's teaching again. Verse 11, a woman was there who was crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up. So it was more than just a physical condition. It was a spirit. Verse 12, when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said, woman, you are set free from your infirmity, from your sickness. Verse 13, he put his hands on her. Immediately she straightened up and praised God. Woo, right? Verse 14, indignant. That means they were upset. Because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath again, the synagogue leader said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. Okay, you following this, right? Verse 15, the Lord said to him, you hypocrites. Hypocrite is you say one thing, do another. Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or your donkey from the stall and lead it out to give water? So the obvious answer would be what? Yes. Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what had bound her? Again, the answer would be what? Yes. When he had said this, all his opponents, those who were opposing him, were humiliated. But the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. And so when Jesus comes on the scene, you'll see there was rules and regulations. They were following the Sabbath day, but they had totally lost sight of what the Sabbath was intended to accomplish. It was rules to be followed, instead of the delight to be enjoyed. Mark chapter 2, 23 through 28. On the Sabbath day, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples were walking along, and they began to pick some heads off of the grain. Okay, you ever done that? Walked along the edge of a grain field, pulled a few heads off, right? That popped them in your mouth. That's what they were doing. They were harvesting. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read that David, when he and his companions were hungry and in need, in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful for only the priest to eat, and he also gave some to his companions?" Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for who? Man, not the man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord of even of the Sabbath." And see, that's the thing here, is that the Sabbath was made for us. It wasn't a regulation that God says, "Hey, I'm going to torture those human beings. I'm going to make them follow this rule." That's not the point of it. It's not a rule to be followed. It's a practice to be delighted, to bless your life, to take delight in. From the life and the teachings of Jesus, we see that the Sabbath rest was that very much. It was something to be embraced and take delight in. It was to refresh their body, their soul, and their mind, even to do some good towards others. The Sabbath rest is an antidote for a hectic and fast-paced life. Amen? Some of you, you just like to go, go, go. And that's great. I think people with energy and just go, 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 that's great. I'd rather have that than slow, 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 right? Right? At least you can slow down a person that's fast, 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 right? And goes, goes, goes. Sometimes somebody that just doesn't get off, you know, they're... It's kind of sometimes hard to get going, right? All right? But it's the antidote. It's setting that reset button, that pause, and it's like, whew, you refresh yourself, and then you're ready to go again and give 100%. To that next week, to your work, to your family, to your life. So if the Sabbath day was on Saturday, why do most churches meet on Sunday and see it as their Sabbath? Because of the resurrection, right? Yeah. And so when Jesus was resurrected on Sunday morning, that became the day that they would meet together to fellowship, to study God's word, and that became, for lack of a better term, their Sabbath. And so I don't think Jesus was, when Jesus came on the scene, he wasn't saying, "Hey, don't observe a Sabbath day." What he was saying is that we need to have a Sabbath, whether it's on Saturday, on Sunday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, because people have different work schedules. You need to find a day that you can unplug, at least take a break from your regular routine, and rest. All right? Now, if you're a mom with a little baby, you can't say, "Hey, kiddo, I'm off today. I'm off today. I'll see you tomorrow morning," right? You can't do that, right? There's some things that are just part of life, right? In those seasons in life, right? But there are some things that we need to unplug from. Now, what does that look like? So when I grew up, it was pretty much, this is what you could do, this is what you couldn't do. So this is what we could do. We go to church on Sunday morning, we come home. If it was football season, it was okay to watch football season. At 5 or 6 o'clock, Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom was on. We could watch that. All right, and then we went back to church at 7 o'clock, and we had Sunday night church. Often we'd have somebody over us for a Sunday meal. That's what you could do. If I wanted to go out hunting on a Sunday, I couldn't go out with my friends and go hunting. Okay, that wasn't allowed. I could do some things, but I couldn't do others, right? What does a Sabbath day look like? I think, to the best of your ability, we have people in our church that work at a certain company that they work 12 days on, I believe, right? And 2 days off, right? And so you have to work within those systems and do your best, but I think... you need to have a day that you kind of set aside is that, hey, I've given my 5 or 6 days at wherever I work, and I'm going to take a day to be with my family, to be with God, to do some things that I enjoy. Maybe there's a hobby you enjoy, and get out there and enjoy that, because that refuels you. And sometimes those hobbies are strenuous and they're hard, right? But they can still rejuvenate you and refresh you. They clear your mind. So my day off, everybody know what my day off is? What is my day off? Friday, yeah. Yep. And so if I'm hard to reach on a Friday, that's why. Usually I go out and try to do some things, because I kind of do a little bit of work on Sundays. But, I just appreciate it. But I was just going to mention this earlier about what people do even on a Sunday. And whether it's in the kitchen, people there in the back, sound booth, stuff that's even done before you walk through the doors, getting the building cleaned and ready. That person's not here, but everybody has a role. Our churches, people help out quite a bit, so appreciate what everybody does. What does Colossians 2 say? I think this is helpful for us. There's two passages in the New Testament where Paul deals with this, but Colossians 2, 16 and 17 says, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink. So there was people saying you can eat certain things, you can't eat certain things, drink certain things, can't. In regard to religious festivals, a new moon celebration, so there are certain celebrations that, you have to attend if you're going to be spiritual, right? Or a Sabbath day, okay? These are a shadow of things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. And so we know that Paul, maybe he did kind of follow the Sabbath day to some degree, but we know that the early church primarily met that their day to get together was on Sundays, right? And in the West here, Sunday has been set aside for that. It's not as much anymore, right? We know that Sunday has become fair game for club sports and things like that. They take advantage of that. Wednesday nights has become that way too. And so you have to find that day, in my mind, that you can unplug and you can take a break to refresh your body, soul, and mind, be with your family. Again, the Sabbath rest is not a rule to be followed. Rather, it's a practice that we willfully participate in to refresh, to renew, and provide delight. Am I able to do every Friday? No. Sometimes there's a funeral. Sometimes I have to do a business trip. Okay? So sometimes it doesn't always go as planned. But you still have to do that, because what I've learned, and maybe you can identify with this, that if I go, eventually my spirit becomes what I call toxic. I begin to hate life, okay? Because I'm going, I begin to hate life, my attitude gets bad, and I just need to stop. And it's kind of like, sometimes it's kind of like, but there's all this stuff that needs to be done, right? I get that. But you'll be better off if you take that moment to stop, refresh, rejuvenate, and then hit it hard again. Amen? So, there again, it is not a rule to be followed, but a practice to be embraced and to find delight in. Our life is not a sprint. It's a marathon, right? In a sprint, you give it all you got and you just go and you finish it. But in a marathon, you have to pace yourself. And if we want to live this life with energy, with zest, fulfillment, you better learn to pace yourself, and a Sabbath rest will keep you on the right track. If you want to burn out, go for it. I know a lot of people that have gotten into their corporate world and they push, and they do, and their marriage falls apart and they have health issues. Why? Because they haven't incorporated a Sabbath rest. They go. It's not a rule to be followed, folks. It's a practice that'll bless your life. You follow me? The Sabbath rest, what will it be? We're going to wrap it up here. The Sabbath rest, what will it be? See, it's not only just about, Paul kind of alludes to that, it's just not about here and now. It's pointing ahead to something else. This is what Hebrews says. Hebrews 4, 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have the promise of entering his rest, it still stands. Let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. So he's talking about not just the Sabbath day. He's talking about something else. Verse 2, for we also have the good news proclaimed to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who have obeyed. Verse 3, now we who have believed will enter that rest. Just as God says, so I declare to my oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world for some time. For he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works. Again in the passage he says above, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since there still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Verse 7, God said again in a certain day, calling it today, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had been given them rest, God would not have spoken later of another day. So it kind of was pointing ahead to when they would enter into the promised land. That was their Sabbath rest. But the author of Hebrews is saying there's something that's pointing ahead to still something further. Verse 9, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Therefore, make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. What's the Sabbath rest that Hebrews is talking about? We have another name for it. What do we call it? To enter into God's Sabbath rest would be to enter into heaven. Eternity, right? And he's saying, hey, these people, they disobeyed, so they weren't going to be able to enter into heaven, God's Sabbath rest. So the Sabbath was actually pointing ahead to that day when we will enter into heaven and we're going to rest from our labors here on earth. Amen? You know, I think about people that have lived their whole life, maybe they're 90s or 100. I was just talking to somebody yesterday. They have family members that are 107 or something like that. Just crazy. And one day, they're going to breathe their last, and they're going to enter into God's rest. Amen? Right? They worked hard, they gave their life, and they're going to rest. That's powerful. And so the Sabbath day not only is a practice for us to be blessed by here on this earth, it points to a day where we're going to rest from all of our labors here on earth. All the pain, the suffering, the hard work, the sweat. One day we're going to enter in his rest and be with him. Amen. Denise, worship team. As you make room for prayer and the study of God's word and a Sabbath rest, they will not only bless your spiritual life, but your body and your soul as well. If there's one of those that ties more directly to the body and the mind, it would be the Sabbath rest. I can guarantee you take a day just to kind of unwind and maybe do something you love to do, be with your family. It's a direct impact. Your mind, you're going to be sharper, you're going to be refreshed in your body. Spiritually, if you spend some time with God, you're going to be further down the road, drawn closer to God. It hits all of them just very directly. And I mentioned this in the other two messages, the practices of prayer, the study of God's word, and the Sabbath are like a trellis in a vineyard, right? So Chris, if you have that graphic there, the practices, well, they'll lift us up, they'll guide us, and they'll guard us. As we put them in there, they're not rules to be followed, folks. They're practices that will enhance our life, that produce fruitfulness and health in our life, and draw us closer to God. If you want to go far, if you want to live long and a fulfilled life, find delight in a Sabbath rest. It'll bless your body, your soul, and mind. Amen? You know, I think, going back to Hebrews, think about those people that were in the wilderness. They saw some pretty cool miracles, didn't they? They saw the Red Sea parted and went through it. That's pretty cool, huh? Saw water come from a rock. They saw manna appear on the ground, not just once, but 6 days out of the week. quail. They could catch them with their own hands. That's pretty cool, huh? Quail's good eating. They saw those miracles and those provisions day after day. And then also deliverance from their enemies. So some of those saw all those different miracles, and yet they didn't enter God's rest. Isn't that sad? You may think, you know what? You know, if I would believe in God if I would just see this miracle, or I'd see God do that. And that's not a guarantee. You could see some of the greatest miracles that have happened in biblical, in our Bible, and still not have a faith in God. And you could not enter God's rest. The commandments, God's guidelines, aren't there to be one more rule for us to follow. There to bless our life, so that one day when our time is come, we can enter into God's rest. Amen? And know Him as our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, salvation. I encourage you all, I don't know who's listening online or who's here. Let's pray together. And especially if you don't know if you are going to have that, you don't know if you're going to have the hope of heaven. You're just not solid on that, and you need to know for sure. Let's get that settled today. Amen. Let's pray together. Say, dear God, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart today. Be my Lord, my Savior, and walk with me each day of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That begins the journey. That begins the journey. Father, whether it's prayer, whether it's a study of your word, whether it's a Sabbath for us, we're going to talk about a couple more. They're not rules to be followed. They're practices to be enjoyed that add blessing to our life, health to our life, balance to our life, purpose to our life. And so, Lord God, you have given us your Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and guidance, to guide and direct us. It may look different for all of us, but you've given us your Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. And in these closing moments, I pray that you would come and just give us wisdom. Provide the partnerships, the community, the people in our life that we can grow together. Provide the accountability. To implement those into our life. Lord God, we give you the praise. Would you stand this morning? There's somebody that mentioned to me a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, and I think some of it had to do with this message, but they called me up and what they were, they wanted to kind of run by me thinking, you know, do you think this is God speaking to me? Should I do this or do that? And by the time I got back to them a couple hours later, they said, yeah, I kind of figured out that it was God speaking to me. And so what it was they had a bunch of games on their phone, and they just felt prompted by the Holy Spirit that they should remove all the games off their phone because they were just wasting too much time there, right? And so they did that, and she goes, yeah. She knew what the right thing to do. I think she just wanted, she knew what was right. And so she followed the Holy Spirit. She goes, it just kept getting stronger and stronger. She goes, that's what I knew I needed to do. What is God speaking to you? It may look different for all of you. Father, this morning, I thank you for your people. Lord God, we've been called to follow you, and we've been called out of darkness into your light, Lord. Lord God, and there are practices, there's things that we are going to be different from the world around us. Some of those may be just that we set aside time for prayer and your word. Even to take a Sabbath day or a day that we worship you and spend time with our family and just take a break. Lord God, it is those things, Lord God, that set us apart from the rest of the world. And so, Lord God, go with us this week. Let us find delight in the things that you have in your word, Lord God. They're not there to make us do one more thing. They're there to bless our life, to make us prosper, to be healthy, and to enjoy life, to find purpose and meaning. So Lord God, go with us. Let us be a blessing to the world around us. Let us radiate the presence and the glory of God. We give you the praise. We ask it in your precious name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Greet each other as you leave.